Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Older Adult to Geriatric Nutrition Answers podcast presented to you by LongTermCareRD.com. I'm Michelle, your host and presenter of today's episode. Today we're going to be continuing on in the journey of talking about dementia and nutrition. Obviously, I mentioned last week, dementia is one of the prevailing conditions that we deal with in older adults. There is some stats that say as much as 68% of older adults in long-term care have some level of cognitive impairment. So it makes it such a pressing issue that dietitians especially should know all about what goes into this. So I'm very excited to be talking about late-stage dementia today and advice just how to manage it. When is it end of life? Is it always end of life? And the answer is obviously no, it's not. So first, I want to talk about the sponsor for today. It's part of the Long-Term Care RD website. It is the Ultimate Long-Term Care Dietitian's Reference Guide. So this is the most comprehensive nutrition information that is applicable to your practice. I have gotten so many manuals over my 10-year career in long-term care, and most of them were just simply textbook answers. So we all know Krause's nutrition textbook that we got back in the university days. Fairly certain that they're still using that one. It was textbook answers though. And that is where this comprehensive reference guide is different, because it is a how-to guide. So I walk you through practical examples. I talk to you like a normal person, like I talk to you in this podcast. And so it includes things, the basics of long-term care, nutrition assessment how-to. So I tell you how to do a nutrition assessment. I tell you how to build nutrition care plans, nutrition management of chronic diseases, nutrition support, end-of-life nutrition, food service operations, working with your team. I also go through regulation, documentation, and quality improvement. So this book will equip you with what you need to know to do your job. I give you practical insights, evidence-based approaches, and most of all, I teach you that delicate balance between quality of life, which is one of our number one priorities working with the older adult and geriatric population, but also weighing in the clinical nutrition management. So how do you find that balance? And that is something that you don't learn in school, that you learn on the job, but I help you get there a little bit quicker when we talk about weighing the balance there. So if you want to get your copy, it's available on the website. It is actually a part of one of our bundles too. So you can get it with the audit guide. So an awesome deal. I will link everything in the show notes, but you can also find it on the shop page at longtermcarerd.com. Okay, so let's dive into today's episode. So I am going off the assumption with this that you have listened to last week's episode. And if you have not, please go back and listen. I did dive a little bit into dementia in that episode, but I'm going to talk about more of a broad overview in this one, just because I don't want to review everything that we've talked about with dementia. I just want to dive right into the nutrition aspect of it. So when you're caring for somebody who has late stage dementia, one of the most challenging issues that arises is the decrease in appetite or just a flat out refusal to eat. If you've worked with somebody or you've known and loved someone that has dementia, you know that this comes with the territory. This phase is particularly distressing for caregivers, loved ones, as nutrition plays such a crucial role in the overall well-being of a person with dementia. And so what we need to do is we need to understand the reasons behind these eating difficulties and also find effective ways to address them, because that's going to make sure that they're getting that adequate nutrition, because we want to maintain their comfort, their dignity for the individual during the final stages of their life. I talked about it last week that there are stages of dementia. I think there's 7. Don't quote me on that, but I'm fairly certain that there is officially 7 stages. It's more often than not that dementia is diagnosed in the middle to later stages, because the first stages don't show a lot of symptoms. And if they do, sometimes it's just chalked up to, well, you know what, they're aging, memory's not so good. So when we tend to see them, it's in the middle to later. And when we get to the later, that's where we see massive nutrition implications. So I do have a list of the best foods for a person with dementia to eat. I'm going to link that in the show notes. I just wanted to throw that in before I forgot to mention it. But if we're talking about just like a broad overview and we want to understand how dementia and eating behaviors are linked, Dementia profoundly affects an individual's eating habits because it stems from the cognitive decline as well as the memory loss. And this often leads to a diminished ability for them to recognize hunger cues that are being sent, obviously from their brain to the stomach. And this complicates the process of eating. So individuals also may forget the steps that are involved in chewing and swallowing, or they might not feel traditional hunger, and this will lead to skipped meals and inadequate nutrition. Dementia also alters the sense of taste and smell, which significantly impacts appetite and food preferences. So foods that may have once been their favorite, it might become unappealing or even repulsive in some circumstances, because the taste of it and the smell of it is so distorted to them. And this definitely contributes to nutrition challenges, because a common piece of advice that we give to people is, well, offer them their favorite foods. And it's like, well, what if their favorite foods are no longer appealing to them? Then we need to find something else. So obviously these changes, it's going to affect the quantity of food consumed, but it also affects the ability to have a variety, which can lead to deficiencies in nutrients. So the cognitive impairment associated with dementia, it complicates the mealtime routines as well. So the loss of that executive function can make it difficult for individuals to plan meals, remember to eat, or recognize food in front of them as something to be consumed. So what we have to do is we have to have a tailored approach to each individual. So there's not one blanket care plan that we can give for every individual. And so we need to figure out how to make it work for that individual person. So if we want to, though, skip ahead to the causes of reduced eating in the later stages of dementia, it is obviously contributed to by the cognitive decline, because they have a reduced interest in food and they also have difficulties with mealtimes, the routines. So the memory loss, the confusion, it makes the act of eating seem very unfamiliar, and it can also be very overwhelming to them, which ultimately can lead to frustration, a lack of appetite, where they don't look forward to mealtimes. So the progression of dementia often results in the diminished ability to communicate as well, overall, just not being able to communicate needs, but it definitely impacts their ability to communicate whether they're hungry or what foods they want to eat. Again, all combining into making feeding very difficult. We also do tend to see physical challenges. And when we think of physical challenges, we don't always think of, well, that's going to impact nutrition, but it does, because swallowing difficulties known as dysphagia become much more common. And that is a physical difficulty because it poses a risk of choking or aspiration pneumonia. Also in terms of physical, we see a loss of coordination and motor skills, which can make using utensils very difficult. So this means that they'll either rely on using their hands to eat, modified diet textures, and these physical barriers, they require careful management to ensure that they're eating a safe and adequate amount of food. We also see psychological factors outside of just the cognitive impairment. So we might see bouts of depression, anxiety. These are prevalent in individuals with late stage dementia. And obviously it can lead to a loss of interest in food coupled with changes in their emotional behavior. So we might see a little bit more physical aggression or outbursts, things like that. And that makes it difficult, especially if we're talking about, well, we want to offer them eating assistance. And so we want to recognize that when we're trying to deal with late stage dementia and reduced eating, we want to know that there is multiple things that we need to take into account. It's not just a loss of appetite. That's not the only issue that we're facing. We're looking at the overall characteristics of how the dementia is taking place in this individual, and where can we insert nutrition interventions to help them eat more. Now, I don't have to tell any dietitian here what the complications are of inadequate nutrition, because we know what they are. If they're not eating enough, we're going to see malnutrition, we're going to see weight loss. These are really common outcomes in individuals with dementia, and this is going to lead to a weakened immune system, a weakened physical body. And when we see a weakened physical body, that's where we start to see, well, now they're at an increased risk of pressure ulcers, constipation, frailty, so an increased risk of fractures. There's a risk of dehydration. It's particularly high in individuals with a cognitive impairment. We know that if there's a risk of dehydration, this is going to lead to higher risk of UTIs, kidney problems, health issues. So there's so many factors that we have to take into account. And so individuals with dementia are some of the most complex patients you will ever deal with, particularly in late stage, because all of a sudden now you're not dealing with somebody who's typically verbal or can communicate their needs. So you have to try to do interventions with somebody that cannot communicate their needs to you. And so having a dietitian that has real expertise working with patients with dementia is going to be such an asset, because these patients require somebody who knows how to work with these increasing complications. So what I want to give you now are some strategies for managing these eating difficulties in later stage dementia. And I'm going to touch on the end of life issue at the end of this podcast, so stay tuned. So what we want to do is we want to create a supportive mealtime environment, and we want to adapt dietary practices and caregivers as well as staff, loved ones, to help mitigate these challenges. So this is going to be individual though, depending on what area they're struggling with. So number one, you want to create a mealtime environment that is calm and quiet, because this can significantly reduce the mealtime stress for these individuals. So you want to minimize the distraction, keep background noise to a minimum in order to help them focus their attention on eating. A familiar and a comfortable setting can make these mealtimes more inviting. And it can actually help to encourage them to engage more with food, because their attention isn't being driven to multiple areas within an eating environment. So keep calm, quiet music, no words to the music, just maybe quiet jazz playing in the background. Keep TVs off. If this is a long-term care home, staff should not be yelling across the room and talking with each other. We want to keep the focus on the individual and keep it a calm, quiet environment. Next up, obviously, we're going to look at modified diet textures if they're struggling with dysphagia. So for those who are experiencing the swallowing difficulties, modifying the texture of foods can actually be a lifesaver. You might not have to go all the way to pureed diets, but you can do pureed diets, thickened liquids, soft cooked foods, and this can make swallowing very easy and safer for the individual, and it'll bring down that risk of choking and aspiration. But what we really want to know is that it's really important to ensure that these modified meals are still appealing as well as nutritionally balanced. A lot of times I'm seeing in long-term care homes that the pureed meal is just kind of an afterthought, that we're not putting much thought into, well, how much nutrition is in this. And I really want to emphasize that you should be doing a nutritional analysis of all of your pureed foods, because it is not the same as a regular texture meal. I will go into that, but there's really interesting research in that area. But we're going to stick with just late stage dementia today. So we're also, next up is we're going to look at increased mealtime assistance. So providing that increased mealtime assistance, the one-on-one through gentle encouragement, it can make a significant difference in the amount of food that that individual is eating. So whether they're assisting with utensils, they're guiding their hands to their mouths, they're offering verbal cues, it can help individuals with dementia to focus on the task of eating. And this supportive approach fosters a sense of security, and it can really enhance the mealtime experience. At times, somebody with dementia will only want to get this assistance, though, from somebody that they know and are familiar with. This can make a real difference. So trying to keep staffing consistent in order to encourage building those bonds is a great thing. Next up, we also want to encourage independence, and this can be done through finger foods. I talked about earlier that loss of coordination and the loss of the ability to pick up utensils, use regular utensils, and put it hand to mouth while balancing the food, that actually requires a lot of work on an individual's behalf. And somebody with a cognitive impairment may really struggle with that. So what we want to do is offer finger foods, because these promote independence and it can make eating more manageable for those who have the coordination difficulty. So I have a list of a significant amount of finger foods. I'm going to link the article in the show notes, and there's also a free PDF that you can download and use. Next, you can use a high calorie, high protein diet. This diet can be essential for combating weight loss and malnutrition in individuals who have reduced food intake, because what we're looking at is we want nutrient-dense foods that ensure that each bite delivers a significant amount of energy and protein, which can work to support the overall health and well-being. Caregivers should really focus on incorporating these nutrient-rich options into daily meals. And I do have a how-to guide on the high-energy, high-protein diet, so I will link that in the show notes as well. And of course, we always want to utilize those high calorie supplements, but we want to do them between meals, not with meals. If you're including a high calorie supplement at meals, it will definitely reduce their food intake. So we don't want to do that. Offer those between meals, maybe with MedPass, and MedPass should not be done at meals. We already know that. So that can help to kind of bridge the gap in meeting those nutritional meals, and it can help to provide the vitamins, the minerals, the calories in a more concentrated form. So I'm not going to dive into it today, but there are also supportive feeding techniques that you can use. And so I am going to link an article that describes that as well as the role of the caregivers. So those are some of the important areas of how to make sure that somebody with late stage dementia is still getting their nutrients in. But of course, I always get the question, when do we know when it's end of life? Well, first of all, end of life is always going to be declared by a doctor. And when end of life is declared, it's also used interchangeably with hospice care. And more often than not, it means that that individual has 6 months or less to live. Now, there will come a time when all of the nutrition strategies that you have tried are maxed out and it's not working anymore. And ultimately, we're leading towards that end of life, because dementia is a condition that somebody will die from, or the side effects of the complications of. So as individuals with late stage dementia approach end of their lives, nutrition care requires a sensitive and really compassionate approach that respects the person's dignity and comfort. The focus will shift from nutrition interventions aimed at prolonging life to ensuring that there is comfort and quality of life in their remaining days. Comfort care does not mean end of care. It means that we're shifting the care. So in the end of life phase, we are not going to be doing any more aggressive nutritional strategies to reverse all of the negative health consequences that we're seeing. Instead, our goal is to provide comfort, to prevent distress, to prevent discomfort, and support the individual going through natural changes in their eating and drinking habits. So this might involve respecting when they're saying that they don't want to eat anymore or are pushing food away from their mouths. And it also means that we're still continuing to offer them food, but if they are not accepting and no matter what you try, it's not working anymore, that we respect that, we try again later, and they can continue to have that autonomy to make that decision that they don't want to eat. So obviously you really want to support the families and the caregivers throughout this difficult time, and keeping them educated and just aware of what we expect to happen, because it typically can bring somebody great comfort if they know what is going to happen and that this is natural and that this is just the process that's happening. So if you're a dietitian and you're not fully sure of what end of life looks like or what you can say to these families, or you don't feel like dietitians should be involved in this discussion, I can assure you that you should be involved in those discussions and that it's really important. If you're not sure how to have these discussions, I do have talking points that you can use. And we also do have end of life education in the shop that you can buy a webinar that I recorded for you, and it comes with a little ebook. So addressing the nutritional challenges faced by individuals with late stage dementia is complex, and it requires empathy, creativity in your nutrition interventions, as well as a deep understanding of their unique needs. So each individual with dementia is going to require different nutrition strategies, and as a dietitian, they can be very valuable in identifying what the nutrition issue is and how to manage it. Now, dementia is obviously irreversible, but nutrition management can help to ease that burden. So I hope that you found this incredibly informative. I will link all the articles that I talked about in the show notes, or they'll be linked within articles that are in the show notes. Don't forget to check out the shop page for that long-term care dietitian's reference guide. Be sure to like and follow the show on your Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook at longtermcarerd, and find the website at longtermcarerd.com. We'll talk to you next time.